Thanks. Giving you tri-tip the first night. Any way to get you here? Someone's donating that, so that's fun. Is that fun? Way to your head, through your heart, I mean your stomach. Couple things for you before I get going on the message. You probably know this, but we're part of four campuses. So there's Irvine, there's Huntington Beach, there's Mission Viejo, and then there's us. And so we communicate with one another. This week, a communication went out, and it was kind of just a little bit of a mistake, and we just want to apologize. It was from the Irvine campus, and they sent something out to all the campuses. And the only reason it's an apology is because we really try to guard the emails that go out, and we don't want to include everyone. But at the same time, it was kind of a fun email that went out. It was this idea or this they're talking about that they've been on a 30-year journey to be debt-free as a church, the Irvine campus. And so someone donated $19 million. And now they're like, hey, we got $19 million laying around. What are we going to do with it? So they gave it to the church, which is crazy. He's like, so such a wonderful God story. And so they sent that out, but that went to everybody. So that's if you got that, that's just why. So it's kind of fun. At the same time, we don't want to bombard you with news from all campuses, but I think that's worthy of that, huh? Is that good or what? Okay. We can clap to that. God is good. And of course, when you bless the mothership, maybe it trickles down to us, but we'll see what happens. Don't count on it. God, is my heart terrible or what? That is like, dang it. Fun things happening here. You know, it's just great this week. We have things that started kicking off with men's ministry and women's ministry last week or 2 weeks. I think maybe last Saturday or the women had the women's brunch. That was great. That was really fun last Saturday. Great to hear about that. And then guys kicked off the Tuesday night Bible study on Tuesday night. And then there's a Thursday morning Bible study that kicked off. So it was fun to see those guys and kind of poke my head around and see everybody there. The women, they started a new Thursday night Bible study that they had. And then they have Women of Passion Thursday morning. And then MOPS kicked off on Friday mornings. And MOPS is packed, as a matter of fact. There's a waiting list to get in. So that's kind of fun. So all these things, it's just great to see things happening on campus, and I love it. On a little side note, MOPS is looking for childcare workers. I think they pay a little bit, so there's a little financial component to it. But if you want to help out with childcare on Friday morning and with MOPS, we could use that, and that could open up more spaces for women to jump in. So just want to let you guys know about that. It's fun to see a lot of activity and things happening at the church. Also, we got the preschool that's going. Keep talking about that. That's great too. So let me pray and then we'll look at the message. God, we thank you, Lord, for your provision, God. Thank you for just the Irvine campus and what an incredible blessing, God. And I just love their heart, Lord, as things happen. They just want to become more generous as a church and to make a difference in the community, God. So I love their heart and all that they want to do, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that's happening on our campus and all the ways people are plugged in and that they're jumping in. And I love the excitement and the energy. I love things that are happening with kids and all those things, God. I thank you, Lord, that we have a wonderful, blessed, and generous church as well, God. And so we're thankful for that as well. Pray, Lord, as we look at the message this morning, that you will just speak to us, God. Maybe just give us one thing, Lord, as we leave here, that we will feel more connected to you, more like you, that we'll be a light to people, and that we will find love and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've all had those moments in our life, those moments in our life, in your life, in my life, that you'll never forget, that we'll never forget. Like it's just locked in our brain and it just doesn't go away. I have a moment, I have a few moments. Now, just as a side note, the moment, I know my kid's being born, you know, I get it, okay, so. And my wife coming down the aisle. I get all those things. Wonderful moments I'll never forget. It's not what this moment is, but I don't want emails like, how did you not mention your kid? Okay, but we all have those moments that we'll never forget. Mine is, gosh, I think it was about, I want to say like 20 years ago, probably in college. I'm heading, I'm with my buddies and we're on a ski boat. We're heading to Catalina and I can't get this day out of my mind. So we're heading to Catalina, and as we're on our way to Catalina, we it's a, you know, it's like a, it's probably a day like this, calm, the ocean's calm, and we're kind of heading across, and we come across two gray whales. And so, you know how you pay good money to see gray whales, you know, like that. So we just dumb luck across two great whales, and they're there, and they're kind of just swimming around, they're diving, they're coming out, the blowhole thing, and all, you know, it's all this, you know, not, they're not like breaching or anything like that. But we're kind of driving the ski boat around two gray whales. And then as we continue, so they blow us off, and then we kind of keep going, and as we continue out, we come across a school of dolphins. So we're coming across the school of dolphins, and as we're driving, the front of the wake, you know, the boat's like this, in the front of the wake of the boat, this dolphin starts swimming into our wake and start playing with us. So we're driving the boat, and the dolphins are following, they're playing in the wake, and so we slow the boat down, and we're like leaning over the boat, and the dolphins are swimming in this front wake, and they're looking up at us as we're driving around. And so it's amazing, and so this is what we do. We reach over, no lie, I'm a pastor, no, and we're petting the dolphins as we're driving, as they're swimming in our wake. I mean, how, that's amazing, and they're looking up at us, like one of those things, I will never forget, it's like amazing. And so, and then, you know, once again, they're done with us, and they go, we keep going, and we stumble across, and then this is all in one day. This is like on the way to Catalina. This was within an hour. Okay, and so we're heading out, and there's this big boil, I think it's like anchovies. So we're like, what's that? And it's like this big boil of anchovies, and all of a sudden, as we look, big bonita start coming through the anchovies, and they're just hitting us. So it's this feeding frenzy. So we have fishing poles, and so we just throw our lines in, and we didn't even put bait on our hooks, and we're just pulling in, like, you know how you've seen those, like, you know, biggest catch, or like people are, you know, we're just reeling in, but we're not even reeling, we're like throwing them over our shoulder. So we got a boat full of bonita, we didn't know what to do with. But it was like that, one of those amazing, incredible moments that I will never, ever forget. And when you have those kind of moments, you always think to yourself, gosh, I wish someone was here to experience it. I wish someone could just have had this same opportunity. I wish someone could have been a part of that. And I've had that moment that I will never forget, and you have yours. I'm sure you have your moments that you think about, and you go, ah, I remember that day or that moment or that time. I'll never forget. Maybe you went golfing at Pebble Beach. And as you're golfing and you're done, it's a beautiful day, you're thinking when it's done, you're like, oh, I just wish so-and-so was here. Or I wish these people were here. Or maybe you see like a sunset in Maui. You know, sometimes people send me pictures of like the sun setting in Maui. Do you not hate those people? Like, really? I got to see the sun setting. You know, I'm like in my office, you know, staring at a whiteboard, and your sun is setting. But you have those moments where the sun's setting in Maui, and you just think to yourself, and you're there, and you're with someone that you love and everything like that, but you always say, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. Would this be so amazing if they were a part of this? Or you have a great meal. You have a great meal, and all of a sudden you're done, or you're in the middle of it, you're having, gosh, I wish so, you know. Or maybe you see a movie, God, I wish someone would, God, what a great movie. I wish so-and-so saw this. I wish they were there. I wish they were here. You all have those moments. You all have those things where you think, I wish they were here. Some cases, they're church things. In 2 months, we're going to go to Israel. In 2 months, we're going to go to Israel, and we're going to do things at Israel, and I know, I guarantee it. We'll have those moments where I'll be thinking to myself, oh, I wish the whole church could be here to experience this. I wish the whole church could experience this. Or sometimes we'll do baptisms. We'll do baptisms on stage, and sometimes it's the kids, the young, and all of a sudden the parents will come up, and they're shooting like videos or taking pictures of their kid being baptized. And I think to myself, gosh, I wish every parent could have that experience of watching their son or their daughter be baptized. Or, you know, I hear stories like of the men's retreat, and guys go on the men's retreat, and they talk about all these great, and I always think about, yeah, I wish all the guys could be there. I wish they could all experience it. See, we have all these kind of things. If I could push a button, and you would experience or could experience one thing, all of you, if you could experience one thing, it would be this. If I could push a button, and you would all experience community. If you could all experience community, it would overshadow every story. They could all get into a group and find connection and find community and be with people and be with people and kind of walk through life with people and be with people so when you have good things, you have people to celebrate and you could praise God together and you can do all those things. When you have hard times, that you could have people that you could talk to, or when you're stumbling through life and thing is difficult, you have people that you can walk through life with. If you could have a sense of community, a smaller community, if I could push a button and you could all experience that, I'm like, game over. That's great. That's what it's all about. That's why we have this saying, circles are more important than rows, because life change happens in circles, because community happens in circles, because you talk together, you walk together, you pray together, you listen with one another. That's why we talk about community. That's why you're like sitting here going, really? He's going to do another community message, isn't he? And yeah, because it's that important. If I could get you to do one thing, it would be find a community of people that's smaller than this and get together with them. Now, there's a lot of reasons to get in community. This morning, we're going to talk about one. We're going to talk about one reason, and one of these reasons you know. You experienced it. It's a no-brainer. You get it. One of these reasons that we're going to talk about, this is something that Jesus talked about. And we're going to look at a verse that he said. Now, here's the interesting part about this verse. This is a verse that you won't see painted like on the church walls. Like, you won't walk into a church and like they got this painted on, like, oh, what a great verse. Yeah, won't be on the verse. This won't be like a verse that you read on a calendar. But this is something that Jesus said. In Luke 17, it says this. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. The Greek puts it this way. When it's written in the Greek, they always put the most important words first. So this is how, and this is going to sound a little bit like Yoda in Star Wars, but this is how the Greek puts it. It says this, impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. Impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. Meaning this, it's impossible for you not to have stumbling blocks in your life. Simply put, you're going to stumble. You're going to stumble. It's a promise. Jesus promised it. Now, Jesus said something similar, a little bit different, but something similar to this in John 16. He says this in verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, hey, in this world you're going to have trouble. But here in this Luke 17 passage, it has a little different meaning. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. There are going to be things in your life that cause you to stumble. There are going to be things in your life that cause you to act contrary to the way God wants you to act. There are going to be things in your life that cause you to do things or go places or have these experiences that are against everything that God wants for you. And you know this. You have experienced things in your life that have had you or made you walk away from God. They've made you walk away from God. You've walked away from God because of something that happened. Something happened and you walked away from God. You walked away from God because of people in your life or friends in your life or something like that. You've walked away from God because of people. You've walked away from God because of temptation. There's been temptations in your life and you're thinking, I shouldn't, but I want to. I shouldn't, but I want to. And you do. And because you do it, you think God doesn't want anything to do with you, so you walk away. You walk away from God because of experiences. And you go down the road with experiences and you think, wow, this is kind of fun. And why are they telling me not to do this? And so you try it for a second and you think it's fun for a while. And then so you walk away from God and you try it. So we walk away from God for all kinds of reasons. My guess is the biggest reason we walk away from God is people. We walk away from God because of people. You start to get connected. You start associating with people. And they don't want anything to do with God, or they don't want anything to do with church. And so you just find yourself stumbling or walking away. Maybe you become friends with them. And they're like, church, or they're like, hey, God, or like, relax. You know, they're all those things. And so they don't want anything to do with it. So somehow you find yourself not wanting anything to do with it. Or you start dating someone. You start dating someone, and they're nice, and they're fun, and he's so handsome, and he's got money, and she's so beautiful, and she's so clever, and we laugh together and everything. But they want nothing to do with God, or they want nothing to do with church. So you find yourself kind of stumbling or walking away, or you marry someone. And they don't want anything to do with it. So we have these things in our lives that make us stumble and walk away from God. And oftentimes it's people. Sometimes it's wealth. Sometimes it's money. Jesus says this. He says, the deceitfulness of wealth and its desires for other things. So sometimes wealth can be a stumbling block. Because all of a sudden, you know, you have this level of wealth. And there's nothing wrong with wealth. Wealth is great. Wealth helps someone bless their mind. You know, so nothing wrong with wealth. But there's this tendency. You start having a little money, you think, gosh, who needs God? I got money. Who needs God? I got money. Or oftentimes you'll think to yourself, you know what? Money works better than God. So you start blowing God off because you have this level of wealth. And wealth is good, but wealth has this potential to make us stumble. Because if we have wealth, what we have also is we have options. The more money you have, the more options you have. And when you have more options, you have the greater tendency to blow God off. Or when you have more wealth, you have this tendency to think you're smarter than you are. So you think you're smart, and who needs God? Or you think that you got life together, so who needs God? So there are all these things in life. There's people, there's temptations, there's experiences, and there's wealth, and all these things that make us or help us to walk away from God. Right now, you can think about your life. And when I say we all, when Jesus says, and I say, we all stumble and walk away from God, you know that because you've experienced it. And maybe you sit here right here this morning, and I, you know, what was it? What was it for you that made you stumble and walk away from God? Maybe it's something in the past. Maybe it's something right now. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's a person. Maybe something happened. What is it that makes us stumble or walk away from God? We've all done it. Jesus says this. He's saying, it's impossible. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter. Every one of us, we stumble. And at some point, we walk away from God. Now, there's a part of us that's kind of, that's depressing. Like, really? You know, like, that's a bummer. You know, but here's the other thing. Side note. There's a part of me that also thinks that's kind of encouraging. Meaning, when we stumble and walk away from God, which we all do, all done, all might, that doesn't surprise God. That doesn't surprise God. It's like God knows. So here's the reality. We all stumble. It's impossible. You can't get away from it. You can't run from it. This is why groups are so important. This is why groups are so important. Because this. It's easy to stumble out of church. It's easy to stumble out of church. You just get lazy. You don't feel like coming. You know, how many of this morning just like, I don't want to. You were debating whether to show up. Okay. It's easy to stumble out of church. All of a sudden your schedule changes and you're working on Sundays and it's easy to blow church. All of a sudden you're working late Saturday night. It's easy to, all of a sudden your kid's schedule changes and there's things on Sunday. So it is so easy to just stumble out of church and you just stop coming. It's easy to stop believing. Something happens in your life and you think to yourself, how could that happen? If there is a good and loving God and yet that happens, you can't get that working in your brain. And so it is so easy to stumble out of belief. It could happen. It's so easy to stumble out of intimacy with God. You just stop praying. Or just, and you don't even realize it, but you just stop reading your Bible. And so these things that create intimacy with God, you just stop doing. It is so easy to stop doing that. It is so easy to stop coming to church. So easy to stop believing when things happen and they're conflicting for you. So easy to stop having intimacy with God. You know what's not easy? It's not easy walking away from community with people. When you are with a group of people, when you are with a tight group of people, it is not easy to walk away from that. Why? Because they won't let you. Because they won't let you. Because if you are in authentic relationship with other people and they don't see you, or they know where you're doing, or they know where you're going, or they know that you're struggling, they won't let you walk away. You can walk away from here and no one will know. You know, it'll be a month before we're like, what happened to Jim? But when you're in community, they won't let you walk away. That's why community is important. That's why we want to get you into a group of people who care about you, and they won't let you walk away. We're going to learn from a guy, wisest guy who ever lived, by the name of Solomon. And Solomon gives wisdom into this. This is what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 4. He says this, and he's going to say these things, and they're incredibly practical. He says this: two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. Even thousands of years ago, they realized one person can do a man's work or a woman's work, but two people working together is better. Two people working together is better than two people working. Two people working together is better than three people working. That is the principle of synergy. It says this: if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. And that's just a basic principle we all know. We get that. And then it says this: but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. But pity anyone who falls but has no one to help them up. That's a hopeless feeling, isn't it? When you're all alone and something happens. We've all seen that commercial, the old lady's on the ground. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Remember that? You know, is anyone? Oh, I'm too old. Has people seen that? Okay. She's like laying on the ground, help, I've fallen and can't. And you just feel bad for their lady, like, someone help her. I mean, you know, it's hard. When someone falls, you know, that's why we got my dad, he's 90, he'll be here next Thursday. He's 90, and he's got one of those little buttons. You know, I think it's one of those things the lady had. Okay. Yeah, like, if something happens to him, he can push it. And I think it hopefully goes to my brother, not to me. But I'm kidding. But it's scary. And it's hard when you're all alone and you fall and there's no one there for you. You ever been hiking? You ever been like on a hike and something happened and you're all alone? I don't hike. I tried mountain biking. So I tried mountain biking. I did it a couple times. This is what I realized with mountain biking. So when you're riding up the hills, they're steep hills. And so you're riding up the hills, and eventually I ride up these hills, and they're too hard to ride up. Like, wow, this is hard. I'm working really hard. So you get off the bike because it's too steep, and so you walk. You walk your bike up the hill. And then when you get to the top of a hill, you get to go downhill. But when you go downhill, I'm like, wow, this is kind of steep. Like, if I hit something, I'd fly over the handlebars. So, I ended up walking my bike down the hill. So I came to the realization, like, I'm just on a long walk with a bike. This is lame. So I went twice. First time, had that experience. Second time, same experience. So I'm out with three buddies my second time. And as we're riding, I'm on this long walk. And so I finally just tell the guys, you guys go. I'll catch up with you. I know where the car is. We'll meet you. So they go, and I'm by myself. So I go up the hill. I walk it. And I go down the hill. I get a little reckless. I hit a rock. I flip over my handlebars. Broken clavicle. Compound fracture of my leg, all alone, no one to help me. It's scary. I made the last part up. Okay. All alone, riding up the hill and my chain broke. Same thing though, just as scary. Just as scary. Yeah. The things that come to me in the middle of the night, I know, okay. But you all know this. When we're alone and we don't have anyone, it's scary. That's why Solomon says it. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. We live in a world where eventually we fall. We live in a world where eventually we fall. That is our world. That is your teenager's world. That is your middle school son or daughter's world. That is your spouse's world. That is your friend's world. We live in a world where eventually we all fall. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. The hardest phone calls I ever get are when someone calls me and they're stuck or they're in trouble. And they're stuck financially. They're stuck because of alcoholism or drugs. They're stuck because of relationship problems. They're stuck because something has happened with their son or with their daughter. And so it is the hardest phone call I get. And my brain always goes to one place. So as they talk to me, I listen. As they talk to me, I empathize with them because it's scary, I get it. As they talk to me, I hopefully have some bit of wisdom that I could give them. As they talk to me when we're done, obviously I take time and I pray with them. And then I always ask them a question. Do you have a friend or a family member that you can call that can help you, that can walk alongside of you in the midst of this? Do you have someone? And if they say yes, I'm always like, call them. Hang up with me and call them. Because, and then I tell them this. You don't believe this, but they want to help you. If they are your family or they are your friends, they want to help you. They want to be there for you. They want to come alongside of you. They don't want you to go through this alone. So when they say yes, I say that to them. If they say no, my heart just sinks. My heart just sinks. And not only does my heart sink, but I could see it on their face. They just sink. Or I could just hear it in their voice. They just sink. Because of what Solomon says. I pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Because it's hard. Life is scary. And we all fall. And we all need someone. We all need someone. Do you know why we want you desperately to get in a group? Because we all fall. We all fall. And it's scary. We all find ourselves in trouble. And we all need someone. We all need someone. We all need someone to help us. And once we get past when we fall and we mess up, which we all do, once we get past this desire in all of us to isolate, you see, when we struggle, there's a part of us that wants to isolate. Once we get past this idea of we want to keep it a secret, once we get past all of that deep down, do you know what we want? Come on, you know this. Do you know what? When you fall, or I fall, or we fall. Once we get past this, I'm embarrassed, or this, let's keep it a secret, or I want to just keep, you know, deep down what we want? We want people to come alongside of us and help us. Please, please, every one of you, me included, if I fall or something happens, please help me. We all want that deep down. We all want that. That's why the smartest guy on earth says, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And has no one to help them up. You know what? When someone falls and stumbles and has something hard, here's the reality. When people mess up morally and they fall, you know what they want? Unfortunately, they want to be left alone. They just want to stay down there. They're just like, leave me alone. You know they blow it, and they're so. When people mess up relationally, and they fall, you know what they do? And they want. They just want to stay down there. They just want to be left alone. You know why groups are so great? Do you know why it is so great when you are in a community of people that are walking through life with you? Because you will have hardship, you will have struggle. You know why it is so great? Because when you are with those people, you know what they won't do? They will not take no for an answer. They will not take no for an answer. And they will say, I know you want to lay down there, and I know you want to stay down there, and I know you want to isolate, and I know you want to hide, and I know you want to keep it a secret, and I know if any, I know you're embarrassed, I know, but they will not let you sit down there, and they will pick you up, and they will pick you up, and they will pull, and they will pull, and they will get you to your feet, because that's what happens when you're in authentic community with one another. You see, we all fall. And we all need it. We all need it. That's why we need community. That's why we need community. Here's my guess. My guess is there's a good portion of you that are from a broken family. There's a good portion of you that are from a broken family. And it's been painful. Either mom walked away or dad walked away. What if your mom and dad had someone in their life that came alongside them and says, we're not letting you walk away. We are not letting you tear this family apart. What if your mom and dad had that? What if your mom or your dad said, you know, had someone to come alongside them and say, we are not going to allow you to medicate yourself out of relationship. We are not going to do that. What if your mom and dad had that? What if your mom and dad had people in their life who say, I know you're going through a hard time, and you know what? We're going to pay for marriage counseling to try to fix this and make this work because we are not going to let this tear a family apart. What if your mom and dad had that? Do you know how different your life would be if they had someone around them? Think about you. Think about your biggest misstep in life. We've all ran ourselves into a ditch. We all have. They're different depths, but we've all done it. What if I had someone around me that says, we're not going to let you go there. We're not going to let you do that. We see you going down that road, and we're going to grab you, and we're going to pull you back. I know you're hurting, and I know life is hard, and I know you're scared, and I know you want to isolate, but we're not going to allow you to do that. So we're going to come. What if we had that in our lives when we ran ourselves into a ditch or when we did the unthinkable? What if we had that? Think about how different our lives would be. If you have kids, you are foolish if you don't get them in the youth group. You are foolish, because what do kids need? They need people that they can talk to and be with in the hardest times of their life, to get them through the pitfalls of life. And we wish, as parents, we wish they talked to us, but they don't want to talk to us. And so they need people in their lives to talk with, because life is hard and it is challenging. What if your kids had that? What if you had that? What if your parents had that? Think about how different life would be. Think about how different life will be. That is why we talk about. That's why we talk about get in circles. Love the rose. Glad you're here. Fun to talk to you. But get in circles. Get in community. Build relationship with one another. Because we're all going to stumble. We're all scuffling. And we need someone to come alongside of us. That's why Solomon says this. He continues to say, also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. So Solomon is saying two is better and two is stronger. And get together and be with more than other people than just yourself. And then he's going to invite a third party in here. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And most scholars believe that right here, Solomon is inviting God into the equation. You know where you are strongest? When you are not alone and you are with others and you invite God into the equation. That's where you are the strongest. That's what community is all about. It's you taking your next step and getting with people and being in community and inviting God in the equation, that is where you are the strongest. That is where you are the strongest. Here's the reality, though. You might sit here this morning, I have friends. I got friends. You know, I don't need community, I got buddies, or I got women, or I got, and here's my question, do they point you to God? We all got friends. I got friends I golf with. I got friends I do fantasy football with. We all got friends. And so oftentimes we'll think, I don't need this stuff, I got. Do they point you to God? Do they bring in that third strand where you are at your strongest? If I got in trouble, if I did something stupid, if I was hurting, I got a guy I would call. He'd probably be one of my first calls if I didn't hear this. But I got a guy I could call. I've called him before a long time in life. And he would, at a drop of a hat, come and help me. But this is what he wouldn't do. He wouldn't invite God into the equation. He wouldn't. He'd help me. He'd pick up a truck and help me to do something. He'd help me, but he wouldn't invite. And you know what he would do? He would help me take care of me. He would talk to me and do things for me, and he would think, this is about you, Jeff, so take care of you. And he would leave other people or other things out of the equation, and he would say things like, this is a time to take care of yourself, and you got to make sure that you're all right, and you got to just go for it yourself. And he would create collateral damage everywhere. But he loves me, and he cares. He's a buddy. But he would never bring God into the equation. He wouldn't. We need people who bring that third strand, God, into the equation. We need people. Don't you want, if you're going to go to someone and you're going to ask for help, don't you want someone who ushers in a level of peace? Like, there's a peace that God gives you. There's just that peace, like, that God can bring. Don't you want that? Don't you want someone who will usher in a purpose to your life? Don't you want someone in your life that can usher God in and give you a purpose and point you in the right direction, even though it's hard, even though it's challenging, even though you're scared? Don't you want someone who can usher in a sense of purpose in your life? Don't you want someone in the midst of a struggle or a battle that can remind you that the, like John and Deanna did in their song, that can remind you that the creator of the universe loves you and he's got you. And he hasn't let you go. Don't you want someone that reminds you of that? That's why Psalm is saying this. Make it a strand, but make it a strand of three. Not just you, but get other people. And then bring God in the equation. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. And that's why we believe in circles. We believe that when you go through life with yourself and other people and invite God in, you are at your strongest. You are at your strongest. And so, when you scuffle, or you struggle, or you're in trouble, or you're scared, or you don't know what to do, you are at your strongest because you have someone. You have someone. We're all gonna struggle. We all are. It's life. It's the reality of life. You know what smart people do? They admit it. We're going to struggle. Life is hard. And then they let people come around them. And that's what we've been about these last 3 weeks. It's getting into community. A few things that I just wrote. I wrote four things down. If you are in a community where you're experiencing those three strands, way to go. Way to go. If you sit here this morning and you think to yourself, gosh, if something happened, if you can say to yourself, I have someone. Yeah, I have someone. Way to go. Or if you say, God, I got a group of people. Wait, that's what it's about. If you have that, that's, you know what? At our church now, and we've come along, there are 270 people right now in a smaller community than just this. That's awesome. Last week, we had about 100 people sign up for community nights. And that's way to go, because you're saying, we need to get out of rows, and we got to get in circles. Second thing, if you have been stuck, or something has hit you between the eyes, and life has been hard, and you have reached out for help, way to go. That's what smart people do. That's what wise people do. If you're sitting here this morning and you're hurting and life is hard and you feel all alone, that's why we want to have people come around side you. We want to come around side you. Third thing is this. I know a lot of you that are here right now. I know who's here. Not everyone, but I know. And you have come alongside hurting people. You have come alongside people who have stumbled and have gone through hard times. And you've come alongside and you've picked them up and lifted them up and helped them. Way to go. That's what this is about. All you should have this morning is just a sense of, God, I did good. What'd you learn at church this morning? I learned I did good. And I helped someone. And then finally, if you're here this morning and you are not in a community, a smaller community of people that's going to sit around and gather and talk about life and eventually hope get to know each other a little bit more. And then when we struggle, we have somewhere to go. If you don't have that, I'm just going to invite you to do this. Fill out your community night card. And we start next Tuesday. And jump, it's the first easiest step to getting in community. I'm not going to have you do it now. Last week I felt like the principal, like staring you down. So, but if you're not in community, I invite you to jump in. What have we learned? We all stumble. We all do. It's reality. And we all need somebody. And we all need God. And so let's do it together. That's what we need. I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing a song. And maybe if you're not in a group before you leave, just write your name down legibly. You know, like, I have to think, like, what does that say? And I, like, we have no idea, like, you know. Okay. Let me pray, and then we'll sing. God, we are always so grateful for your scripture, God, that reminds us, God, that when we struggle or stumble and fall, Lord, it happens to all of us, God. It doesn't surprise you. You still love us. You're still with us, God. There's people here this morning that are going through it right now. And even though it's hard for them right now, Lord, I just pray right now that you'll just give them that sense of, if there's people around them, that you allow them just to feel like, oh, God's family is coming around me, or that they have people. Will you allow them just to feel that peace and that pleasure and knowing that people are with them and love them? If there are people here this morning and they're hurting and they feel all alone, I pray, Lord, that they will reach out. You'll help them to reach out. People in this room that have loved on people that have been hurting, God, give them a sense of well done, way to go. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to be in community, that you created us that way. In Jesus' name, amen.